إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، respected listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is Saturday the 12th of August 2006. I apologize for my absence yesterday. Apparently I had a Jumu'ah program on the other side of town, and for fears that I might get stuck in traffic, it was felt appropriate that we postpone the program till today. Before continuing, just a few questions. The question is asking if the sons of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam were prophets, the same sons that got Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam thrown into the well. The ulama of tafsir have differed. Some have said that they were, and they use reference in the ayah which we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط. So the mention of Asbat, some of the ulama have interpreted it as the Asbat, meaning the children of Ya'qub عليه الصلاة والسلام. Some of the other ulama say that this is the Asbat being spoken about here does not refer to the children of Adam, of Ya'qub عليه الصلاة والسلام. However, Asbat meaning, as you would say in the Arabic language, qabail, or as you would say to other tribes which are not from the Arabs, ajam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But if they were, or if this interpretation of the ulama is correct in that that they were from the Asbat, meaning they are the Asbat and from some of the prophets, then that would also teach us a lesson. And the lesson that we are taught is that we should never judge people on the things that they do at the beginning stages of their lives. You should never ever recall the bad that someone has done. If a person actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him guidance and he becomes mustaqim, he becomes a practicing Muslim, we should never be from amongst those who actually recall the bad past that this person might have had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to forgive this person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, if he is a practicing Muslim, has accepted him and granted him guidance. Instead, we should make dua for a lot of goodness for our Muslim brother and sister. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If I wish for a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted somebody but don't wish it to be taken away from them, is this jealousy? This is a good question. If you wish for a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted somebody and you don't wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it from them, then no, that can't be termed as jealousy, because jealousy is when you actually question why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given somebody and you wish for that thing to be taken away. And we spoke about jealousy in the previous lessons that we've taken in Surah Yusuf, and we've seen the evil that it causes. And we did mention a lot where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ, that stay away from hasad. And in so many other ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about hasad. In fact, a quick ayah that comes to mind is also in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That many the people, or many of the people from amongst the Christians and the Jews, from amongst the people of the book, wish if you could turn away as they did and become disbelievers after you have actually believed, out of envy, meaning out of jealousy, hasad, out of jealousy, they are jealous of you, and that's why they wish for you to turn back to the aspect of being a disbeliever after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused you to believe. So this is an ayah talking about jealousy. Another ayah which comes to mind is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And that is in Surah An-Nisa. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are they jealous men? Are they jealous of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers? أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ, are they jealous of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers for what Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal has given them out of his mercy, out of his bounty, out of his blessings? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they are, then we had already given the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam the book and hikmah and wisdom. and divine revelation. So this is another ayah speaking about hasad. And then obviously one short ayah that comes to mind, and one which we might be reading on a daily basis, is in Surah Al-Falaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَد, meaning from the evil of the envier when he envies, or from the evil of a person who is jealous. So from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the evils of jealousy. Then from the Sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dabba ilaykum da'ul umami min qablikum. He was teaching us that the disease of nations, da'ul umami, of umami, meaning of previous nations, have started to spread amongst you. And he mentioned so many aspects, and from them was the aspect of al-hasatu wal-baghda, meaning the aspect of being jealous of one another and hating one another. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection from the aspect of jealousy. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while teaching the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in about different diseases or different bad qualities that might spread amongst the ummah, he said, innahu sayusibu ummati da'ul umami, that my ummah will be stricken with the disease of other nations. And this is a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an. And when he was teaching the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in this hadith, and he was teaching them, when he was teaching, giving them the lessons of these different diseases from them, he mentioned so many things, and jealousy was from one of them. He mentioned arrogance, he mentioned the aspect of hatred, of envy. So hatred and envy and jealousy was taught to us of Rasulullah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told us that this is a disease. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this disease, the disease of jealousy and hating one another. The last question is, do you interpret dreams? No, I do not interpret dreams. Dreams is a gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to a select few. As I mentioned, I did say that my teacher, one of my teachers at my university, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with the ability to interpret dreams. This is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants on a select few. And even when we go to these people, or if we hear of somebody who actually can interpret dreams, we should make sure that they are from amongst those who interpret these dreams from the Quran and the Sunnah, and not from their minds or from stories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Now, in the last lesson that we had, we stopped where we were speaking about the evils of the tongue. And we said that the wife of Aziz, how she lied and changed the story and accused Yusuf of coming onto her. She accused him of immoral behavior. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam stood up for himself and said, she is the one who enticed me. I am totally innocent over here. Then we saw the evil of the tongue again in the aspect of وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, when they were gossiping, when the women of the city were gossiping about the wife of the minister of Egypt. And we said that gossiping also is from the evil of the tongue. And we ended up that talk, if I remember correctly, speaking about the evils of the tongue, where we said we spoke about lying and that a Muslim shouldn't lie. And we spoke about the aspect of slandering, of backbiting, of lying, of cheating, of deceiving. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evils of the tongue. Then continuing with the tafsir. So the women of the city were obviously in a plot and ploy to see Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They were in suspense that who is this person? What kind of a slave can actually entice a woman of the caliber of the wife of the minister of Egypt? So they were actually in, you can say, in suspense, and they made a plot. And Allah tells us that the backbiting was a plot when he said, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ, he named the aspect of them backbiting about her or gossiping about her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called that aspect makar. So it was a plot. They knew what they wanted to get out from it. So she heard them backbiting about her. Obviously she got upset about this. She goes that, how can these people actually speak about me? I will show them exactly what the reality of the situation is. So what did she do? وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسي. And we spoke about it, قد شغفها حبا. And we spoke about what the ulama of tafsir, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, actually deduced from this ayah alone. He mentioned 10 points and explained 10 ways which the women of the city were actually speaking about the minister's wife, subhanallah. And this is the power of the Arabic language, as we spoke before. So فلما سمعت بمكرهن أرسلت إليهن وأعتدت لهن متكا وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا وقالت اخرج عليهن. So this was her plot and her plan. What she did was, she said, look, these people obviously are speaking about me. I will show them the reality of the situation. Being a prominent lady as she was, she invited all of them for a meal. And obviously she laid it out. أرسلت إليهن means she invited them for a meal. وأعتدت لهن means she prepared the scene for them. وأعتدت لهن متكأة. The ulama of tafsir have mentioned متكأة meaning reclined couches. So she laid out reclined couches so they would eat and they would relax and feel laid back. They would feel casual, not expecting anything out of the norm. Subhanallah, so she prepared the scene, and we know how good she is in preparing scenes because she prepared it also when she tried to entice Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. So wa'atadat lahunna muttaka. She placed reclining couches. She prepared a meal. And they all came for this meal, they all enjoyed, they had a full meal, and as it was the custom of the Arabs, after a meal they usually hand out as dessert fruits. That's what the Arabs usually do. As dessert, they would give their guests fruit. So they're feeling casual. They've had this big meal. Meaning, you're having a meal with the wife of the minister of Egypt. So it had to have been a full course meal. So they're feeling all casual, feeling all comfortable. She's given them the fruits. They've got the knives in their hand, and they're ready to cut the fruit. And what happens when they're not even expecting a shock? You're feeling so casual, feeling all calm. What does she do? And as we said, she is good at planning. At the perfect moment, وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِمْ. She commanded him to come into the room, to come and present himself in front of, or to come and present himself in front of these ladies. Now, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is a slave. He has to obey orders. He probably could have thought that, look, she wants me to do something. So he came out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ. Subhanallah. Look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ. When as soon as they saw him, they greatly admired him. They were in awe with what they were seeing in front of them. They were in absolute shock. أَكْبَرْنَهُ. It was beyond their imagination. It was beyond their ability to describe what they were seeing in front of them. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a person who possessed half of all beauty. Akbarnahu. Subhanallah. Beautiful terminology. Then, وَقَدْ طُعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ وَكُنَّ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So, out of this awe that they were in, they lost the ability to, probably they lost their senses for a moment, because what happened was they cut right through the fruit and cut their hands as well. That's how amazed they were looking at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. So they cut through the fruit and thus cut their hands. So we can actually say now blood is pouring out of their hands. And what do they say? Hasha lillah. Perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfect. Look at the words they are using. Perfect is Allah rabbul izzati wal jalal. So they acknowledge with their eyes, and we can say that they also acknowledge with their own blood. Subhanallah. They were bleeding. It got to such a stage where they didn't even feel. They lost their feelings for that moment, looking at the beauty and handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So they're acknowledging his beauty with their eyesight and with their own blood. We can even say that because they are bleeding here. And they say, perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma hadha bashara. And those who understand the Arabic language will appreciate the context of these statements. Ma hadha bashara. This is without doubt not a human being. This is not a human being. In hadha illa malakun kareem. In hadha, subhanallah. They said that this is not a human being. Instead, he is an angel. In hadha illa malakun kareem. And those who study the Arabic language or actually specialize in the aspect of the expressive form of the Arabic language known as balagha will understand the context and siyaq of this statement, where they're not just saying that this is not a human being, but they're saying it in such a way where there's so much expressiveness, there's so much shock, there's so much awe. Ma hadha bashara, as if they are denying the aspect of him, meaning they negating himself being a human being and saying this has to be an angel. But the way they are doing it, you can only take the true understanding if you understand it in the Arabic language. And again, this is from I'jaz al-Quran, the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the ability that the Quran has to describe events and describe situations. The descriptive ability of the Quran, subhanallah. So they say, ما هذا بشرا, this is without doubt not a human being. In هذا إلا ملك كريم. Instead, he is an angel. So they are comparing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to an angel, because obviously angels are extremely handsome, as we know the impression we have of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them from light, such handsomeness and such beauty, except obviously a few angels which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about, where they are fierce in nature for purposes best suited, of course, like the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us in the 28th juz in Surah Tahrim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ghilavun shidad, meaning they are severe, they are fierce angels guarding Jahannam. So for purposes best suited, these angels are fearsome and they are difficult and tough. But the general context that one would have when thinking of an angel is extremely handsome, extremely beautiful, made out of light. So these ladies compared Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to an angel. Then the minister's wife speaks out. Now she's got her point across. She's got her point across. So she says, قالت فذلك الذي لمتنني فيه. Now she speaks out. Adrenaline pumping. She has proved her point. You guys were speaking about me. You guys were going around in the city speaking about me. Now here you are, after seeing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam only once. You are bleeding. You've seen him only once and you are bleeding. What about me who has to see him every day on a daily basis? With adrenaline pumping, her point being made, she has proved her point that you people are speaking about me, and here you come, look at him just once, and you are testifying his handsomeness with your blood. You are actually bleeding, you have cut yourselves without feeling. What about me who has to see him on a daily basis? Then what does she say again? And again we're saying with adrenaline pumping, she says, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. She's telling them, I am the one who actually enticed and seduced him, or tried to seduce him. Like as if she's not ashamed of her actions. Now obviously, as we said, just imagine, if you put yourself in the correct frame of mind, here she's proved her point, adrenaline has to be pumping, after that, we find that being shameful is not a quality of hers. She speaks out and says, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. I am the one who enticed him and tried to seduce him. But in the same breath, and this is an interesting point, what does she do? She praises Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. She says, I enticed him towards me, فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. But he refused. And he didn't fall for my ploy, for my plot, and for my plan. So she, unashamedly, is telling the women that, listen, yes, I am the one who did it, so what? But again, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam refused. So she's trying to also, we can say, teach them how much quality Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has. That not only is he beautiful from the outside, he's beautiful from the inside. He is chaste, and these qualities are beloved to anybody, the kuffar and even the Muslims today who mess around. We find boys today and girls, they engage in messing around, totally flouting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, girlfriends, boyfriends, etc. But when it comes, or when the time comes for these people to get married, and you ask them, what type of a girl do you want, what type of a boy you want, they will be first to tell you, we want a chaste person. We want a wife or a husband who's chaste, who doesn't mess around, or who hasn't been messing around. Subhanallah. So even though people mess around, and even the kuffar, the disbelievers, even though they engage in so many immoral activity, the aspect of chastity is beloved to them. And here we see it. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي فَاسْتَعْظَمْ. She's admiring his chastefulness, his ability, or the ability that he had to refrain from her. She admires it. So she says, I enticed him, and in the same breath, she praises him. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. Then she gets a bit more serious and says, وَلَئِن لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمَرُهُ. Subhanallah. She gets serious now. And she tells Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that if you don't do, وَلَئِن لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمَرُهُ. And again, if you understand the Arabic language, you'll understand the seriousness of this context. لَيُسْجَنَنَّ ولا يكون من الصاغرين. If Yusuf, you don't do what I'm asking you to do, you will be jailed and you will be from amongst the losers. In fact, if we try and do justice to the translation, we can say that she said, if you, O Yusuf, don't do what I do, what I'm telling you to do, without doubt, you will be jailed and you will be from amongst the losers. Now, why did I say without doubt you will be jailed? And when it came to her accusing him that he will be from the losers, we didn't say without doubt you will be from the losers. This is again the Arabic language. We see that when she spoke about jailing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, she used Noon al-Tawqeed al-Thaqeelah. Noon al-Tawqeed al-Thaqeelah. Those who study the Arabic language will know this type of Noon. It's a Noon that is placed at the end of a fi'l, of a verb. And what does it do? It gives emphasis to the verb. So she's saying, she's not just saying, I will jail you, Yusuf. She's saying, without doubt, you will be jailed. But when it comes to her actually accusing him of being from amongst the losers, she didn't use the same Noon. She just left the verb as it was. So she says, without doubt you will be jailed. Rest assured, don't even think about it. You will definitely be jailed if you don't consider doing what I'm telling you to do. But in regards to him being from amongst the losers and from amongst those who are small, from amongst those who are debased, she couldn't actually affirm it. Why? This again is from the power in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such apt terminology, such apt wording, so many lessons for us. Each word that you read in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an ocean of lessons for us. The words, and that's why I said when we were speaking about gossiping and that it's generally done by the women, we said the men also do it. But the fact that Allah said, وَقَالَ نِسْوَى, He said the women of the city were gossiping about her. He didn't say the people of the city were gossiping. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the women of the city were backbiting is a lesson for us. It wasn't just put there in vain. So here we learn why she affirmed the aspect of him being jailed and she didn't affirm the aspect of him being from amongst the losers and from amongst those who are small. We learn that it was in her hands to actually jail Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The jailing aspect was in her hands. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the slave and she was the master, so it was in her hands to jail Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But in making him from amongst those who are small and those who have no honor, that's not in her hands. That is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So the aspect of her jailing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that was in her hands. She was the master, she had every right to jail him. Even if she was being oppressive, and she was being oppressive. That's why she affirmed it. But in regards to him being from amongst the losers, no. That's not in her hands. That's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives honor to the person who he wishes and he gives disgrace or takes away honor from those who he wishes. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not in the hands of any human being. So this is what we can learn from that ayah. So once again, we can't help but acknowledge the superior quality of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What character, what patience, what determination, his trust was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned all the tests he's been through. And again, I'll still say that it's nothing still. He's still got so many more tests to go through. And respected listeners, again, this surah was revealed to optimize the Muslim ummah. As we mentioned in the first lesson when we were discussing the reasons of revelation of the surah. And today we're living in days and times where we are depressed. We are facing this depression and this anxiety. You know, little things are affecting us. You know, the cost of living or the environment in the home. You know, little things may be getting to us. We're feeling depressed. A few tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be testing us with is giving us discomfort. We are not being content. Can we even relate to the troubles that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has been going through? We can't. If we thought we had troubles and problems, look at what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is going through. And look how he is passing each test with flying colors. Again, this time, he is placed in the situation whereby he was before, when he was locked up in the room. Now, it's not just one woman. He's faced with a group, a room of women. And is being told that, listen, you better do what we're telling you or you are in trouble. with all the weaknesses we discussed before that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam had. With all the weaknesses, he is in a foreign land. It's a foreign language. It's a foreign deen. He is the slave. He is weak. Weakness upon weakness. Now add an extra weakness whereby he's being commanded now. Do it or else. Now how would you and I fare in that kind of a situation? Subhanallah. But did he lose hope? No, he didn't. Did he start saying, why me? No, he didn't. Did he start feeling depressed? No, he didn't. Subhanallah. What did he do? Once again. Test upon test, every time he took solace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he do here? He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turned to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And what did he say? He said, قَالَ رَبِّ أَسِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says that, oh Allah, prison is more beloved to me than that which they are calling me to. Now he's not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to throw him into jail or to put him into jail, but he's saying that here I'm faced with two options. They're telling me, do this haram, do this act of immorality, or else you will be thrown into the jail. Ya Allah, being thrown into the jail and being in your obedience is more beloved to me than actually engaging in the haram that these people are asking me to engage in. La ilaha illallah. What a believer, subhana rabbi al-a'la. This is the quality of a believer. This is the aspect of iman that in every circumstance, my dear listener, no matter how serious it may be, no matter how depressed you may be, no matter how much Allah is testing, you might feel that, ya Allah, I'm weak, I can't manage. In any case, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that no one can benefit you, no one can harm you except one Allah. You are not a slave of your desires. You are a slave of one Allah. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, la ilaha illa. He is one and there is no one but him. There is no one worthy of worship except one Allah. So you realize this and you do everything and anything to remain in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not leaving one moment for you to gain the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Yusuf alayhi salam has shown us time and time again. The strength of his iman. He says, ya Allah, prison is more beloved to me than that which these people are calling me to. So again, the essence of the iman of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam shows he forfeits the pleasures of this world for one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, today, respected elders and brothers, speaking about the condition of the Muslim ummah in regards to their children, in regards to the drugs that they are falling into, in regards to the alcohol, in the girlfriends and the boyfriends, etc., all the pleasures of the dunya. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, never mind, I'm not taking the pleasures of the dunya. He's being thrown into jail. Even with that, he says, it's better to me than actually being in a moment of disobedience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we find our children falling into these avenues. Subhanallah, and I don't want to go on again about the aspect of upbringing. We spoke about it when we discussed the relationship between father and son at the beginning of the story, where Yusuf approached his father and his father advised him. But respected elders and brothers, today some parents are neglecting this aspect. We find, you know, mothers and fathers today, some of them actually saying that, let my daughter dress how she wants because she's in her mother and father's home. Tomorrow when she gets married, she won't be able to dress like this. What kind of a statement is this? My dear mothers, my dear fathers, what kind of a statement is this whereby you are more than willing to let your child actually be in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a bit of pleasure in the dunya? Is this success? This is not success. And by them not doing it, no one is even saying we're going to throw them into jail. They'll still be okay. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is faced with the aspect and the dark thought of being in prison. Subhanallah. So these are questions that we need to ask of ask ourselves. We engage today in following our desires, our own desires. We forget, we begin to think that we are slaves to our own desires. We forget that we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to live a reality. And the reality is, this life on average will be 60 years. And then you will turn to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for every single thing you said or did whilst you were in this world. We are not meant for this world, respected elders and brothers. We are meant in all circumstances to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. We shouldn't ever leave a chance to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Respected elders and brothers, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. My dear mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wanted in an instant, he can get rid of all of us and come with a nation who is obedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, إِيَّشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِي بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wanted, he could get rid of you in an instant. In an instant. And come with a new creation. And then he says, وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is extremely easy. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam here says, Ya Allah, suffering in the prison is better for me than suffering the guilt that I would have if I disobeyed you. Such chastity. Mimma yad'unani ilay. It's better for me than that which they are encouraging me to and calling me to and commanding me to. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. He tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, if you don't avert from me the evil of the actions and the evil that they are commanding me to do, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. Look at the dua he's making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, Ya Allah, if you don't help me in this situation, I am totally weak. I cannot assist myself. I am trying my best, but Ya Allah, I need your help. Ya Allah, if you don't avert from me the evil that these people are calling me to, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ, I will incline towards them. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and be from amongst those who are ignorant. And remember, we discussed the aspect of jahilin, of jahil, of being ignorant, whereby you know something is wrong and you still do it. You know something is wrong, but you don't have the authority to make yourself act accordingly. So you know the do's and the don'ts, but you still engage in the don'ts when you're not supposed to. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says that, Ya Allah, if you don't assist me over here, or if you don't save me, I will be inclined to this evil that they're calling me to and be from those who are jahil, ignorant, whereby I know what they're calling me to is haram and I might just end up falling into it. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. Now, listen to what he's saying. I just want to bring fact again or speak about the power of the Quran or the power of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Yusuf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Wa illa tasrif anni. He doesn't just say, Ya Allah, save me. He says, Ya Allah, if you don't save me, it's more powerful, it's more reaching and calling out. Again, the power of the Arabic language. It's, for example, if someone says, I'm drowning, save me. If someone calls out and says, I'm drowning, save me. And if he says, if you don't save me, I'll drown. There's a difference. If someone just says, I'm drowning, save me. Or if he says, if you don't save me, I'll drown. There's a difference. Already we can feel there's more reaching out in the statement where someone says, if you don't save me, I will drown. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't just say, Ya Allah, save me. He's reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the most weakest in this room. He's in the weakest condition. He's reaching out and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Allah, if you don't save me, if you don't avert the evil, then I will be forced to, I will be inclined to it. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and be from amongst those who are ignorant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being in the category of those who are evil. Ameen. So, moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah responded to him and averted from him their evil plan, the evil plan of these ladies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most hearing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable of everything. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam turns to Allah and he says, Ya Allah, I don't have the ability. Ya Allah, if you don't save me, I'm going to be in a problem. Please save me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately responds to him. And this is, respected listeners, the quality of a believer. That even if or when they are faced with haram, immediately they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek assistance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an ayah that comes to mind, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَلَىٰ. Again, look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in describing a situation. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. That those who believe, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are, never mind being in the problem, if they are touched with evil, if shaitan just whispers to them something haram, or whispers to them an idea of doing something haram, just the mere fact that shaitan is whispering to them, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, what do they do? تَذَكَّرُوا, immediately they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without wasting time, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and they are upon guidance immediately. So temptations come to all. Nobody can say, I'm free from temptations. We are all faced with temptations, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters. This is a fact of man. And with shaitan out there to plan and plot against man, you will be faced with temptation. But a true believer averts this temptation. How? By turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah continues and says, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. So it became apparent to these women that there is no way we're going to get Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam to fall to our plan and plot. So there's nothing left for us to do. We have to protect our name. We have to protect our fame. There's nothing left for us to do except that we have to jail him. Subhanallah. So now he is imprisoned. Test upon test. Test upon test. Taken away from his father as a child. Thrown into the well as a young boy. Transported out of Palestine without his consent. Then taken to a foreign land and sold as a slave when he's actually innocent. Then he's faced with the incident with the wife of the minister of Egypt. Now he's being jailed when he's totally innocent. Totally correct. He is the innocent party. They are all guilty. Talk about the height of oppression. An innocent person is going to jail and those who are guilty are free to roam the land. What kind of test is this, respected elders and brothers? Do our problems actually come close to the problems of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam? And on top of that, in every circumstance, he passed each test with flying colors. I mean, he is still sane. He hasn't gone mad. Some of us even lose our minds. You know, I remember I was in Saudi Arabia recently when the stock markets actually crashed. And it never crashed like that in so many years. And in the newspapers, we were reading of businessmen who became mad overnight. Obviously, they were losing large amounts. People lost in excess of 10 to 15 million riyals overnight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. However, they lost this money overnight. It was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened? They suffered a chemical imbalance and went mad. Overnight. They forgot their names, they forgot their families, and any psychologist will tell you that if a person goes mad, you cannot return the situation back to normal. The best you can do is contain these situations. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has every right to go mad. Look at the test he's going through. But his iman stands out. His iman stands out, and only iman, respected elders and brothers, can stop a person from actually having a chemical imbalance, of actually going mad. Why? Because he understands, he's a believer. He understands that he is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understands that decree and destination is not in his hands. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him or her. And it is up to us to be patient. And I did mention it and I'll mention it again. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, do you think it is enough for you just to say you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you alone. Respected elders, my dear mothers, my dear fathers, my dear sisters, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us Jannah. To get to Jannah, we have to earn it. It's not just there to get on the plate. We are living in a world governed by a constitution. How we fend ourselves with this constitution, will determine the Jannah. Will determine if we do get Jannah first and foremost. And inshallah, if we die as believers, we will. And also how we fare with this constitution will determine the rank in Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, displaying exquisite levels of patience and passing all the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon him, and he is jailed whilst he is innocent. He has been oppressed, and now the story enters the next phase where now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam finds himself in the prison. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. Now, there's a lot of lessons that we can take from this. So let us pay attention. I mean the whole character aspect of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. ودخل معه السجن فتيان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is in the prison. And with him entered two young men. فتيان meaning youth, from the youth, two young men. One of them said, قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا. Indeed, I see myself squeezing wine, meaning extracting wine or pouring wine for the king. Well, he didn't actually say for the king, but he says, I see in the dream that I am actually squeezing or pouring wine. وقال الآخر, and the second person said, إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزة. The second person said that I see myself carrying upon my head some bread. تأكل الطير من. I see myself carrying on top of my head some bread, and there are birds eating this bread. They are picking this bread from the top of my head. Then they ask him, نبئنا بتأويلي. إنا نراك من المحسنين. سبحان ربي الأعلى. We will take our lessons just from the statement, إنا نراك من المحسنين. They ask Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام and say that, O Yusuf, O nice person, please interpret these dreams for us. Indeed, we see you from the good doers, or from those who do good. Already in this statement, we learn an important aspect. The aspect that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is still passing his test extremely well. He is jailed beyond his wish. He said that jail is better to him than the sin. But it wasn't his wish. He's not asking. It wasn't the ideal thing for him. So he's in jail, being innocent, being oppressed. He's sitting in jail. But what do we learn from this ayah? We learn that he's not sulking. He's not sitting there and sulking and saying, Ya Allah, why me? You know, all the difficulties I've gone through. And you know, how come you're not answering my du'as? And you know, I mean, subhanAllah, I'm making du'a and I'm making du'a and you're not answering me. He's not being weak in his iman, as some people complain and say today. I mean, many a person has told me that, you know, I'm making so much du'a, but Allah is not answering me. You should never, ever, ever, my beloved listeners, ever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like this big door that you are knocking when you make du'a. And the door is opening slowly. You've knocked it for so many years, and this door is opening slowly. And then, for one moment you say, Ya Allah, why are you not answering me? Or Ya Allah, why are you testing me? This big door that you've been knocking for so long just shuts upon you. It just shuts upon you. Subhanallah. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is not here sulking, being unsociable. These two men, or these young men who have entered the prison, see Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they are testifying that indeed we see you from those who have knowledge. Why? Because they asked him to interpret the dreams for them first and foremost. And then they say, we see you from the good doers. So he's not sitting there sulking. He's optimistic. He's carrying on. He is, for him, as long as he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else matters to him. As long as he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else matters to him. So even if he's in jail, he didn't make his Rabb angry. So he is totally at peace. So these two see the goodness in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this ayah teaches us that he wasn't sulking. He was totally content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, Allah does good. We also learn from this the aspect of asking those who are knowledgeable in that which we don't know. We should speak to those who are qualified in a field that we might be having problems with, instead of just, you know, passing statements by ourselves or going to those who don't have knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ask the people of knowledge, those of understanding, if you do not know. These two men obviously have seen this dream, and they've seen knowledge in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the manner in which he's conducting himself. So they approached him and they asked him that, look, we are confused about this. We've seen this dream. We see you from amongst those who might be able to help us with it. Can you please assist us? So this is what we also learn from this ayah. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam portrayed himself appropriately, and as we'll see later, he will portray or explain to them the dream. However, in the next coming ayat, there is a bahr, an ocean, a madrasa of lessons. Let's see how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually dealt with this, with these two men. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam responds to them. He says, okay, you've seen these two dreams. I've heard what you have to say. لا يأتيكما طعام ترزقانه إلا نبأتكما بتأويله قبل أن يأتيكما. So Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام says, you will not receive your food or the food, the meal that you are about to have, maybe it's lunch, maybe it's supper, whatever it is, the meal that you are about to eat won't come to you except that I've already interpreted the dream for you. I will interpret the dream before the meal actually comes. That is from what my Lord has taught me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, I have left the religion of those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of those who don't believe in the year after. So already here, there is so much for us to learn. Now, the first question we ask is that why didn't Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually tell them the dream? Why did he want to wait? Why did he say, listen, I've heard what you have to say, but what I'm going to do is I'm not going to speak to you now. I'll wait till the meal is about to come, and before it comes, I will tell you the dream. We learn important aspects just from the practice of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam here, and this is especially for those who are active in the field of inviting towards good and preventing from evil. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sees an ample opportunity to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in the prison, he's doing the da'wah. Even though he was in this oppressive situation, he didn't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing on his mind is to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is expected from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That let they be from you those who invite towards good and prevent from evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all nations. Why? Because they have the responsibility that the prophets had, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Allah says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. You are the best of nations. Why? Ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. You invite towards good and you prevent from evil. So this is the constant thinking that should be in the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Each and every one of us, in any circumstance that we may be in, we should be thinking, plotting and planning, not actually plotting, because plotting would be we planning something evil, but we should be planning and constantly thinking of how we can, you know, give out this da'wah. How can we invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we learn that aspect. We also learn that as a learned person, when you are approached by those seeking knowledge, don't only tell them that which they want to know. Don't only tell them that these people wanted to know what? Their dreams. They wanted the interpretation of their dreams. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us here that don't tell them only that which they want to know. Tell them that which they need to know. They may not know that they need to know this knowledge, the knowledge of Tawheed, the knowledge of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they may not know that they need this knowledge, but tell them what they want to know and tell them that also which they need to know. Because as we'll see in the ayat coming after this, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, he already is when he said that I have left the way of those who don't believe in Allah. He's telling them something that they didn't want to know, but he knows that they need to know it. And he's telling them that I have left the way of those who don't believe in the hereafter. So they didn't want to know this, but he knew that they need to know it. So immediately we learn from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam the aspect when we're teaching somebody something, we should teach them that which they need to know, not just that which they want to know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam does the da'wah first. And how does he do it? If we really analyze the situation, he does it with good character. If he was sulking in the prison, and if he was being unoptimistic, if he didn't show a good portrayance, would these two actually have come to him? So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam first and foremost gives out the da'wah by having good character. And respected elders and brothers, we need to be from amongst those who have good character. أَثْقَلُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. That the heaviest things, aspects that will be on the scale of a believer on the day of Qiyamah is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good character. Today, respected elders and brothers, we live, my dear mothers and sisters, we're living in a day and age where it is difficult to do da'wah. It is difficult to openly invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be from amongst those who invite through our character. We should show a high level of character. We should be different to the kuffar. our children in school, when they are sitting in class, the teacher must see an apparent difference between the non-Muslim students and the Muslim students, in that the Muslim students perform always better than the non-Muslim students. They have better character. They are more pleasing to deal with. They have this concept of saying please, of saying thank you, of saying may I, of, you know, ma'am, sir. They should have a good character. Their speech should be soft and humble, not vulgar. لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشة ولا متفحشة وكان يقول إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was never vulgar in his speech, was never vulgar in his actions, and he used to say that the best amongst you are those who are good in character. The best way in this day and age, my dear mothers, my dear fathers, my dear brothers and sisters, to do da'wah is through your own character. In your business dealings, how was Islam spread to Northern Asia? Through good business dealings. No one had to speak out. There was honesty in business. Today we find ourselves lying about our cost prices, subhanallah, swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're dealing. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are warned, Islam teaches us against this. If we look at business dealings, we find that the Muslims are always delaying when it comes to making their payments. We find that Muslims' checks would have a chance of bouncing. You wouldn't expect a Muslim brother to pay you a check and the check bouncing, but today we find it in our businesses. So the Muslims are not showing this high caliber of character that we should be showing. I'll stop here talking about character. I think our time has come to an end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Again, we're not lashing out at anybody. We're bringing out something which is a reality, something which needs to be discussed. We are not from amongst those people who sweep problems underneath the carpet. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always have to address problems that we may have. My dear listeners, anything that I did say which was wrong is from myself and shaitan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his forgiveness. And everything correct in this tafsir is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Join me again tomorrow, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.